How important is it that we come to Jesus or follow Jesus or become openly and unquestionably associated with Him? Is it enough to merely know a few facts about Him, maintain a casual interest in Him, and settle for a formal identity with a local congregation? How do you feel about these matters? What kind of value do you attach to making a choice to be with Jesus and follow Him all of the time? Is there really such a thing as a part-time Christian or a church member who does not attend the assemblies or a believer who is not associated with all other believers? These are some questions I'll answer in this message, Jesus, an Ensign of the People. My text is taken from Isaiah 11, verses 10 and 12. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather them together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is himself the root of Jesse. Paul specifically refers to this very text in his exposition of Jesus as the Savior of the world. His statement is found in Romans 15:12. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Jesse was the father of King David, and is the reason for Jesus also being called the root of David. Revelation 5:5. Jesus himself said, I am the root and offspring of David. Revelation 22:16. Our text, therefore, is speaking of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is He who shall stand as an ensign for the people and an ensign for the nations. First, let me establish the meaning of the word ensign, and Jesus is referred to in such a manner. As used in Scripture, the word ensign means a flagstaff, a signal, a banner, or a standard. It's a sort of flag or banner that was established in a high and solitary place as a kind of signal. The people would rally around the ensign or standard, coming to it as a gathering point. In our time, something similar to this occurs during the time when multitudes of young people gather around flagpoles on various school days and campuses to pray for the nation. Those flagpoles are, in a sense, ensigns around which the devoted ones gather. At that time, they are, by declaration, known as a gathering point. During the journey of Israel through the wilderness, each tribe would pitch around their standard or ensign. A tribe's ensign was a banner that identified who they were and to which the people of the tribe would resort and gather around the camp. God gave the people instructions about this in Numbers 2, verse 2. Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of his father's house. Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. The phrase, their father's house, referred to the 12 sons of Jacob, which headed up the 12 tribes of Israel. Each one had an ensign, or a standard. Throughout the history of Israel, frequent mention was made of God's employment of a standard or ensign, a point around which the people would gather. One time he spoke of setting up a standard to which the people would bring their sons and daughters, Isaiah 49:22. Another time, when rallying the people for preparatory work, he said he would lift up a standard for the people, that is, a place to which they'd gather, Isaiah 62:10. When drawing the attention of the people to the appointed overthrow of Babylon, God said, declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard. Publish, and conceal it not. Jeremiah 50 and verse 2. Again, the Lord called for a way to alert all the nations to his judgment, saying, set ye up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations. Jeremiah 51:27. Our text states that the root of Jesse, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, would be set up as an ensign to the people of Israel and for the nations of the world as well. As used in this text, the word ensign emphasizes a banner as a signal, something that alerted the people to a condition, as well as being a point around which they would gather. An ensign speaks of a heavenly cause, a time of divine provision, and a point in both time and place where the people are said to come together. Jesus Christ himself is a signal, the alert as to what God is going to do. He's the banner around which the people are to gather, and the point from which all holy dispatching and commissioning takes place. Now, it's one thing to talk about Jesus being the point of notification and the one around whom we are said to gather. However, it's quite another thing to perceive and receive the implications of that circumstance. In the Christian world, it's become fashionable to rally around other things. Some choose to rally around the name of a denomination. Without speaking in any demeaning or derogatory way, I'll mention a few of them. Some gather around the name Baptist, others around Methodist or Lutheran or Assembly of God or Christian Church or Church of Christ. Others choose to gather around Presbyterian or Apostolic. Some choose a gathering point that's a little more broad, like Full Gospel or Pentecostal or Reformed or Charismatic. or even more broad categories like fundamentalist, conservative, or liberal. These names are all incidental, and it's not my point to speak in favor or against them. I would, however, like to know if being with Christ will compel any person to seek out identity with such names, or if Jesus prefers that we associate him with groups like these. Does the Holy Spirit appoint any of these names, or do the Scriptures hold them forth as the ideal? Are they a proper rallying point for all believers? Are they a kind of signal to the people that alerts them to what God is doing and where things are headed? Has God appointed them as a banner, his signal, or his standard? If not, precisely, how do we justify their existence? How can they possibly be the means of discerning God's will or the presence of God, or who's approved or who's rejected? Now, I do not wish to be contentious about this, but those who prefer such identities really need to step forward and explain why Jesus has not done so. They owe us an explanation about what's moved them to allow something other than the person of Jesus to be the rallying point, the thing that brings the people together. If God has appointed Jesus as the ensign, is it really innocent or in any way acceptable to him to allow anything or anyone else to be the ensign? Is it possible to justify the use of any other name to identify believers or those whom God has accepted? Is the promotion or defense of any segment or group of people that does not include all the people of God really, is it justifiable? I know this is a personal thing, but that does not mean we're not to think about it. God said he'd make the root of Jesse, the Savior, an ensign for the people. If the people really want to know about God, his will, his purpose, and his determinations, then they'll have to make a concerted effort to get to Jesus. He's already said that no one knows who the Father is but him, and the one to whom he desires to reveal him, Matthew 11:27. He's also told us that to come is to be welcomed as one of the followers. A person must forsake all that he has, Luke 14:33. He further stipulates that the one seeking identity with him must deny themselves, take up the cross of self-crucifixion every day, and follow him, Luke 9:23. He'll not permit any other allegiance or commitment to supersede the one we have with him. And in that stipulation, he pointedly includes father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and even one's own life, Luke 14:26. Jesus is, in fact, the ensign, standard, or rallying point. But no one can gather to him who does not fulfill those requirements. He's a holy standard for a holy people. He's a dedicated standard for a dedicated people. He's God's only means of uniting his people together. The saints of God cannot become united by unity conferences, strategies, and the likes. Jesus is the ensign. There's no secret approach to the Word of God or some hermeneutic or principle of interpretation that can bring the people together. Jesus is the ensign. There's no approach to domestic life and the development of an ideal household that can get the people together. Jesus is the ensign. You cannot unite the people of God by discussion. Jesus is the ensign. You cannot gather them together by some form of juvenile praise. Jesus is the ensign. There's no theological principle that can get the people together. Jesus is the ensign. And how is it that Jesus is made known? How can the ensign be hoisted up so the people become aware of him? Is it by the personal testimony of men? Is it by holding up a sign or a placard? Is this done by taking the right side on moral issues? Is this the appointed way? Indeed, there's only one way, and that's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is referred to as the record God has given of his Son, 1 John 5:10-11. It is what God has said about his Son, which is what men must know if they're even to come to Jesus. But what is the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation? Of what does it consist? Is it the limited record of his earthly ministry, something that we surely must know? Does the record God has given of his Son consist only of the facts that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the gospel? Something that's stated in 1 Corinthians 15:1-3. Are those things satisfactory to get a person to come to Jesus, knowing what he did when he was in the world, and that he died, was buried, and rose from the dead? Does that sufficiently define the ensign so that the people can rally to him, come to him, and learn from him? I'm careful to point out that none of these things could be ignored. They are part of the record, an essential part. However, they're not the whole of it. Not only is the ensign defined in the record of Jesus coming into the world, but by the reason he came into the world. The gospel announces that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. He came into the world that we might live through him, 1 John 4:9. He was manifested to take away our sins, 1 John 3:5, and to destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8. And what was accomplished by Jesus' death? It's not enough just to know that he died. Why did he die? If the ensign is to be identified, this must be known. And the gospel makes it clear. We were reconciled to God through his death in order that he might present us to God holy and unblameable and unreprovable. Colossians 1:22, in his death he destroyed the devil. Hebrews 2:14, he made peace. Colossians 1:20, and plundered principalities and powers that held us captive. Colossians 2:15, in his death he brought an end to the law as the means of righteousness. Romans 10:4, and opened up the way to heaven. Hebrews 10:20, and what about his resurrection? Is it enough to know that Jesus was raised from the dead, or was there something significant accomplished by that? The gospel announces that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection. Romans 1:4, we're begotten again by the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:3, and his resurrection even validates our baptism into Christ. 1 Peter 3:21, those in Christ can even experience the power of the resurrection. Philippians 3:10, the gospel announces that Jesus was raised for our justification. Romans 4:25, his resurrection defines and displays the kind of power that's given to all who are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:20, but does the gospel of Christ end there? Is that all God has said about Jesus? Does that exhaust the record God has given of his Son? Indeed not. We're told that God has highly exalted Christ and given him a name that's above every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Philippians 2:9, we're reminded that angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. 1 Peter 3:22, the gospel announces that Jesus has been exalted to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance and the remission of sin. Acts 5:31. Now it's announced that he's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. He's presently sending forth faith and love. Ephesians 6:23. He's shepherding his sheep. Hebrews 13:20. Bringing many sons to glory. Hebrews 2:10. And keeping those who trust him from falling. Jude 1:24. He's preparing a place for us in order that we might be where he is. John 14:3. God is now giving us grace through Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:4. And we've been called into the fellowship of him. 1 Corinthians 1:9. In heaven at the present time, he's the vine to which we're attached. John 15:5. And he's the door through which we enter. John 10:9. Peter tells us that through the resurrected Christ, we presently believe in God. 1 Peter 1:21. Now that's only a brief introduction to what God has revealed about Jesus, and it's all gospel. Jesus is really the theme of all Scripture, as he himself affirmed in John 5:39, and as the angel announced to John in Revelation 19:10. This is the ensign that has been raised up. It's the gospel, the record God has given of his Son, that raises up the ensign, making it apparent to the people and providing a place where they can gather together. When men hold forth the family as a gathering point, they've not raised up the ensign. When they make morality or prayer or holiness or any form of proper conduct the rallying point, they've not lifted up the ensign. All of these causes have an element of truth in them, but only Jesus causes them all to make sense and guarantees that they'll be done. No man has a right to offer us a substitute for Jesus, and woe to those who attempt to do so. Take down the ensigns that God has not raised up, and he's raised up only one. Remove the standard that comes short of Jesus. Take them all down and give them no more allegiance. Do not give your hearts to any cause in which Jesus is not the whole of the matter. Wear no name in which Jesus Christ is not the whole point. God has raised up the only valid ensign, the only legitimate gathering point, the only proper call and signal. Now, there's something to think about.